All right, thank you, honey. Well, well, well. It's truly an honor and a privilege and a pleasure to be able to speak and deliver a message today. Can't say that I'm not extremely nervous. I got to keep it real, 100, right? So, you know, to coming to this point of what I'm going to speak about and what I'm going to talk about was all over the place. All over the place. But, you know, it's said that a man is truly blessed when he has someone special by his side who can be that rib to hold him together and to really direct and give him that second ear that he needs. So thank you, honey, for trimming down all the things that I had that I was going to say into something that actually makes sense. So I appreciate that. All right. So Shane, who is this guy? Who am I? So growing up, I'll just tell you a little bit about my childhood. I was blessed to have both parents in my home, father and mother. But one thing that's special is that my father, not only was a father to me and my siblings, but he was also a father to the community as well. Not a lot of the kids in our neighborhood all had both parents. And, you know, there were some single parents, single family homes that, you know, they were drawn to come over to our house all the time. So, you know, dad was there, mom's there. And, you know, we'd eat, we'd cook meals, we'd have snacks, we'd play video games, we'd do everything in the neighborhood with everybody, you know. So shortly, sometime after, we became known as the Huxtables, the neighborhood Huxtables. So in doing all this, we had friends, you know, we played basketball. Yeah, and I don't know if you, well, Philip, dad's here. I don't know if Philip's watching online, my brother. We played basketball, but there was a huge gaping crack in the backyard where many an ankle was turned. But you know what? That next week, they was right back, still playing basketball in the backyard, okay? But it was that kind of environment that we grew up in, and we were always opening the door. My family was always opening their door to someone who was in need, and that was something that I saw growing up. My sister, most of you know, Devana, she sings angelically almost every Sunday. We see her sing. My brother, he's not here. I'm not sure if he's online. And I have another brother, half-brother, DeMario, and he's in the Midwest somewhere. So there's four of us all together. So that's me in a nutshell, in my childhood and my the dynamic, I guess, so to speak, what I grew up, you know, under. And not all families look alike. You know, some families are like that. They have both parents, both biological parents in the household. Some parents, some families, single family homes, like I mentioned. Some are divorced homes. Some are adoptive homes, step homes. But regardless of however you land or wherever you come from, the common denominator in all homes should be the love that's needed and the guidance that is required, spiritual and godly guidance and leadership in the household. So I want to speak a little bit on children are watching. And that's the title of my message. Before I go into that, I told my wife it wasn't going to be too long. But actually, she told me I bet not be too long. So I'm going to go ahead and get right straight to my points. All right. So how did I become a father? My dad was Catholic. Huh? I became a father because his dad was Catholic. No. No, my dad was just a little more history. My dad was Catholic. He grew up one of 12. So I had 11 aunts and uncles. My mom was one of four, two brothers and a sister. But my dad was Catholic, attended Catholic school, church, you know, and obviously we were Lutheran, right? Obviously we went to a Lutheran church. They're a little confused. I understand. You see, my dad was a smart man. He learned that my mom, she was Lutheran. happy wife, happy life. And, you know, if you don't know, if you don't take nothing away from the sermon message today, remember that. Happy wife, happy life. So therefore, we were Lutheran, okay? But somehow along the way, Dad finally got his way, and we were able to go to a Catholic high school. To a Catholic high school. I ain't even gonna go down that road with all the foolery we went through. But now it was great. It was a great experience. We learned a lot. But in high school is where I met my beautiful and lovely wife, who as she mentioned, we've been together for 34 years now. And not only did I meet her, I became a father in high school as well. So I met her. For real. So, yes, we were definitely high school sweethearts and teen parents. Congratulations. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's time to grow up now, brother. Yep. And now that my daughter is 32 years old, I think I may have finally grown up. I'm getting there, getting close. But it was like, you know, at that time, one of the Huxtables is going to be a daddy. What's going on here? So what happened to me? What was in that moment? What was going through my mind? And honestly and truthfully, I reflected back on what was instilled in me. And that's where Proverbs 22:6 comes from. That's where my mind went. Train up a child in the way they should go, so when they are old, they will not depart. It's the only thing I could think of. And I just wanted to really honor that and really focus in on making sure that the one thing, if I do right, she's going to know who God is. You know, that's an amen. That's an amen right there. All right. So I told you I was going to say something about points. I'm getting to my point. Hold on one second. Point one, create a firm foundation, right? So that's what our goal was. That's what we set out to do. We were very, very intentional with that. We made sure our child knew manners, made sure she said please and thank you, yes ma'am, yes sir. You know, she was respectful to her elders. She didn't speak out of place, you know. We made sure that she was able to exhibit all of the fruits of the Spirit, which are in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Fruits of the Spirit, number one, love. Number two, joy. Number three, peace. Number four, long-suffering. Number five, kindness. Number six, goodness. Number seven, faithfulness. Number eight, gentleness. And number nine, self-control. We didn't always get it right, but we tried. We tried. Honestly, we were kids raising a kid, you know, learning from every moment to the next moment to the next moment. But every moment was a learning and teaching opportunity. No matter where we went to the movies, there was a moment to teach. Oh, stand in line. Nope, you got to wait for them to call your name. Oh, nope, hand the ticket, speak up loudly so she can hear you. Every moment was a teaching moment. You know, I was putting this together, just thinking about things I was going to say, and I'm like, I think we really tried hard, because that was a big thing. We even banned certain words in the household. You can't say shut up. Nope. Can't say that in our house. I can't. Nope. That's out the. You can't say that. No. Mm-mm. It's not allowed. So I'm like, I think you did all right. I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for just blessing us with the wisdom to go to your word to find out exactly what we should and should not do. You know, we weren't always perfect, like I said, but we did try. You know, some of the intentional things, like training up a child is intentional. Some of the intentional things that we did, we always sang songs. As far as I'm driving her to preschool, you know, we got I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Hey! Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Tuesday, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. So every morning, we were playing those songs. We were singing them, and we were clapping, and we were having a good time. You know, she's a kid. She don't know no better. She's like, oh, my daddy loves it. I love it. All right, let's go. But not only did we play, you know, those songs, we played some 90s R&B. You know, I'm like, if you don't know some music, you got to know the good music. Come on. You got to know the. So to this day, she's still, that's her favorite style of music. She's still rocking in Boyz II Men, you know, Jodeci, you know, some of these good artists from back in the day. But music was a huge, huge part of our learning tool and how we taught and how we gave her those core values. I mean, even, can't believe I'm saying it, but Barney, hey, the purple guy, there was some good things came out of that. Now, don't be shaming, hating, you know. One thing we did, when she's brushing her teeth, when I'm brushing my teeth on the top, it's so much fun, I just can't stop. When I'm brushing my teeth and having so much fun, I never let the water run. I never let the water run. She never let the water run. She was brushing her teeth to this day. So she learned that, and that stayed with her. So it's the beauty of songs and beauty of those things that stick with us when we, you know, we kind of do those things over and over again. So what was point number one? Foundation, creating a firm foundation. Point number two, creating a safe place. It's very important to create a safe place. One of the things that my child, she shared with me is that she appreciated having a safe place to come to. She felt like she could confide in me, share what was on her heart, and also feel like when she did come, she wasn't going to be judged, and that she could speak freely and openly, and it would be heard and accepted, and we could walk it out and talk it out, you know, however we needed to. So creating a safe space happened by our desire to live out those fruits of the Spirit, you know. All of that is in there: self-control, gentleness, goodness. Our God is a gentle God. He's a gentleman. You know, he comes to us. He doesn't force you to believe. He doesn't force you to conform. He doesn't force you to do anything he says to do. He's gentle about it. Come to me, all ye who labor, and I will give you rest. But come first. Come comes first. We have to take an action on our own. It's not going to be just placed upon us. So that gentleness we learned, and we applied it to our dealings and our conversations with our child. So that really blessed me, and because it reminded me that children, they're always learning, and even when we're not sitting down to intentionally teach them something, they're always learning by what we do, by what we say, how we treat others, how we speak to other people, how we behave, and you know, our actions. Are we hiding our phone when our wife walks in the room? They see it. Are we laughing behind someone's back? Well, we just gave them a big hug. Oh, and we walked away and we started laughing and joking about them. They see that. So we're teaching intentionally, and we're teaching unintentionally by things that we do and say. They're learning whether they come to us, and whether they can come to us. They're learning whether our love is steady. They're learning whether mistakes mean rejection or correction. They're learning whether hard conversations are also safe conversations. A safe place doesn't mean that there's no boundaries. A safe place doesn't mean there's no truth. A safe place means truth is spoken with love. Correction is given with care. And grace is present even when the conversation is difficult. Proverbs 22:6, it tells us to train up a child in the way they should go, part of that training is building trust, because a child cannot come to us, if a child cannot come to us when they are small and when the issues are small, they may not come to us when the decisions and the issues are bigger. Like I said, children are not always just listening to what we say about God. They're watching how we present ourselves and how we represent God. When we respond with patience, they learn patience. When we respond with gentleness, they learn gentleness. When we respond with love, they learn that love can be trusted. So one of the ways we build a firm foundation is becoming that safe place, a place where our children can come, be heard, be guided, and still know that they are loved. Point two. So point one. Point two. Safe place. All right, we're moving to point three, baby. Am I doing okay? This may be the time we're going to, okay, we're good on time. Point three. Moving right along. Trust God to redeem what we regret. Trust God to redeem what we regret. So I'm speaking to those. We don't always get it right, right? We say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. We walk out of rooms we probably should have stayed in and continued a conversation because it was too much for us to handle. We didn't want to talk anymore. It was just done. We flew out the door and we're gone, right? But I'm grateful that even though those moments were seen, the arguments were watched, the arguments, the disappointments were had, and anything that took place, I'm grateful that God is a God that is redeeming us through the bad times and the times we missed the mark and the times when we could have done a little bit better but chose the easy way out, because doing right, doing good, it's hard. It's not the easy way. It's not the easy way. So maybe I wasn't always the best example. May have taught some bad habits without meaning to. May have used words that were a little bit too harsh. May have given some advice out of my own pain instead of God's wisdom. But I'm grateful for how redeeming God is and how he is able to step in to any circumstance, in any situation, and show you yourself. Because it's important that we see who we are in each moment. Who are we when things are uncomfortable? Who are we when I don't know what to say because, you know, just came to me with, Daddy, I just got picked on in school and, you know, they're calling me this, they're calling me that. Daddy, what do I do? We're their safe place. We're their shoulder to cry on. So sometimes you might not have the right words, but we do have a God, and we serve a God that we can go to and ask, God, help me in this moment. I don't think we do that enough. I know I didn't. I didn't in the moment say, God, help me in this moment. Give me the words that I need to encourage my child. Give me the words to let her know that she is still loved in spite of what they're saying about her, Lord. And for that, I am sorry for those times that I missed, for those times I didn't step up, say the right things, for the times I just looked the other way, swept it under the rug. Lord, forgive me. And I know that out of my repentance and out of my honest heart, I serve a God that truly does forgive and truly does redeem and truly does turn our lives around. We can be a new creation. I'm going to give you a few Bible verses. Lamentations 3 and 22. It reminds us that God's mercies are new every morning. That means yesterday's failures, they do not have to be the final word over your family. Amen. Ezekiel 36 and 23 says God can give us a new heart and a new spirit. That means we're not stuck being who we used to be. God can soften our hearts and change our responses. God can teach us a better way. Joel 2 and 25 tells us that God is able to restore all that has been lost. Sometimes restoration starts with a simple and humble sentence, "I am sorry." Sometimes it starts with listening without defending ourselves. Sometimes it starts with showing up consistently, even when trust takes time for us to rebuild. Getting it right the next time does not mean pretending we never got it wrong. It means allowing God to make us honest, humble, and willing to grow. And because children are always learning, one of the most powerful lessons they can learn is not that we were perfect, but that we were willing to repent, grow, change, and let God redeem our stories. Here ends our message for the day. We'll be moving to sing our song, "God Can Do It Again."